Greetings to you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've been meditating parables of Lord Jesus. The parables, they're not the bedtime stories to make us sleep. They are the wake-up calls. Thank you all the brothers for speaking from here and strengthening us, edifying all the saints. I want to thank each one of you. And also, these parables, like last Wednesday, as brother spoke, they reveal the truths behind the kingdom of God. And also, they are the windows where we can see the hidden truths and then the mysteries behind the kingdom of God. Same time, they're not only the windows, they are the mirrors that reflect ourselves. We can see ourselves right through those mirrors. It will definitely confront us, it will point us, but all those things, right, just to strengthen us to grow in the Lord. As part of today's meditation, I wanted to give you one trivia. You are seeing a tree here. Can anybody guess what kind of tree that is? Fig. Thank you, sir. Yeah, today's parable is about barren fig tree. If you closely watch, right, there are no figs to that fig tree. Absolutely only leaves that is grown up, but there are no figs. So today's meditation is from the barren fig tree. This is directly from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, from the 13th chapter, 6 to 9. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." We'll have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, you are good God, Father. Thank you for being our Savior. Lord, you are everything to us, Father. You are all-powerful, all-sufficient, Lord. Lord, you are the King of this universe, Lord. But Lord, still, Lord, you remembered us and you redeemed us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we cannot give anything for that, Lord. But Lord, we give you all the glory and honor for it, Father. Lord, as we are going to meditate this parable, Father, Lord, you speak to our hearts, Father. Strengthen us, Father. Lord, help us to treasure all these hidden truths from this parable, Father. Also, Lord, help us to embrace all these truths in our heart and live a life that glorifies you alone, Father. I ask all these things in my name. Of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we come back to the contextual background on which occasion Lord Jesus spoke this parable, this once again the same chapter, 13th chapter of Luke, and first verse, it says, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." This parable about when few Galileans, they came and asking, telling about what is happening there, these tragic incidents in the Jerusalem temple, and also telling, being a dear Galilean, Jesus, right? Jesus also from that area, Nazareth. So they were coming and asking him what happened Pilate, right, how he mingled the blood of those Galileans and then they offered the sacrifices when they came for the sin offering. They came for the offering. So Jesus was replying, unless you repent, you will all likewise. And quoting one more tragic incident happened close to the Siloam. When the tower in Siloam fell down, 18 people killed, and Jesus was telling about that. And ultimately the conclusion here is, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This is the contextual background. This is amplifying this parable of barren fig tree, amplification of the repentance. And also it talks about the fruitfulness. Coming back to the parable, this parable illustrated the need for repentance. The main significance of this parable is it is calling for the repentance. It's not only for the Israel, it is for the believers or individuals. Attention to God's grace in allowing time for repentance. We saw how the owner, the certain man, he is coming and seeking every year whether that is giving fix or not. So allowing one more year, when the keeper asking for one more grace time, right? Allowing God, it shows the God's long suffering, patience, and also his grace, allowing time for the repentance. This parable also, we should not get confused with the other parables of fig trees mentioned in Matthew 21:19 and also Mark 11th chapter 13 to 14, where Jesus, when he was hungry and going on the road, and when he saw that fig tree, right, and there was no fruits found, then Jesus was cursing and immediately it gets withered. So we should not get confused with what Jesus was talking the other parables of fig trees. Parable that he told about a fig tree. This is clearly about a fig tree, and we know how it was barren and all from this parable. Fig tree was another popular example, symbol for the Israel from Hosea, Jeremiah 8:13. I quoted, I mentioned all these verses here, Micah 7:1. All these things, it's a popular symbol, symbolizes for Israel along with the vineyard. Vineyards also, as per Isaiah 5:2, vineyard also it is for Israel. Fig tree and vineyard together, they both symbolizes Israel. Some Bible scholars, they believe that Jesus was speaking about individuals. Once again, coming back to the same parable, fig tree was often given some time to bear good fruit. Immediately, it may not be fruitful, but 3 years, we don't know when they planted in the vineyard, but so it takes some time to be fruitful because of this root structure, very complex and all, to develop and to give the fruits, it takes some time. But we are seeing the owner, right, giving 3 years time and then one more additional grace time there. 3 years would have been enough for the tree to yield some fruit. Jesus was 2,000 years back, he spent 3.5 years ministry, 3 years he ministered to the Israel nation, Israelites, but he expected they will get repented and all, but we saw what the result of Israel. God was gracious with Israel and gave it more time to bear fruit. During his ministry, he stirred up the whole nation of Israel and infused few elements that should have resulted in fruit, but that did not happen. Paul, by keeping this parable, the same parable in mind, Romans 11th chapter, he mentions, but God is having a separate redemption plan for Israel. This parable all about repentance and fruitfulness. What is unfruitfulness? What is barrenness or fruitlessness? Matthew 13:22, it says from the parable of sower, now he who received seed among the thorns, he who hears the word, who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is in the seed that fell in the thorny place, right? They get distracted because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, that makes them unfruitful. The cares of this world, what all those cares means? Luke 21st chapter 34 to 36. That can cause to be unprepared. And also from Luke 12th chapter 29 to 32 verses, even in cares and anxieties of this world or our lives or families, right? They all can distract our minds from focus, from what is truly important. And then the deceitfulness of riches, the danger fully described in 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10. Again, the evil in riches lay in diverting our attention away from God and feeling self-sufficient, self-focused, self-centered. Unfruitfulness, once again, therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. I referred it from NASB. from Matthew 3:8, because of lack of true repentance, that will make us unfruitfulness, barrenness. Results of, we saw in that parable, right? The master, he was completely disappointed at the end of the third year. And every year he's coming and seeking for the fruit, but no results, no fruits. He disappoints because of the keepers, the gardeners' intercession, right? He allows one more year. But if it is not fruitful, ultimately, if it is not fruitful, once again, this parable is open-ended. It ends with a question mark there. So if it is not fruitful completely, it leads to the resurrection. Very powerful words from Matthew 3:10. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What is repentance? Repentance means Greek word, it says metanoia. Metanoia means, you know, Facebook, right? It is known now, they renamed it to Meta. With or beside or after. Noia means mind. Altogether, it is nothing but in Greek, one sentence, significant changing of one's mind. When there is a cause, there will be consequence or there will be effect for it. So this altogether, this is nothing but changing of one's mind from where to where. Means changing of our mind about sin, regarding sin, changing from or hating sin and changing to the different direction towards the God or having faith in God, having faith in Jesus. That's what repentance, the true repentance, right? It is related to the heart. When there is a broken heart and contrite spirit, right? That leads to the true repentance. When you have that change of mind, in understandable language, it's completely 180 degrees, turning from one side to the other side. It's not 360. 360 means once again, we'll come back. So completely from the old nature to the new nature, that convicts us and we will have the change of mind. That is called repentance. Old Testament, there is a beautiful illustrations. And also one more time, this is a parable from Prophet Nathan about King David. We all know King David is the greatest king. He's the greatest king who ruled the Israel nation. He made Israel to prosper well. And also he expanded the boundaries of Israel. He's also King David known as the man after God's own heart. Everything is perfect. Everything is following God. God's anointed king. Everything is fine. But we know what happened. God sends Prophet Nathan and then he made King David to confront what he did. It convicts him. So there, we all know about that adultery of Bathsheba and also how he made her husband to get killed in that battle. So this is this parable about the rich man having the flood. He's having so many lambs and all, but still, right, when a traveler comes, this is from 2 Samuel 12th chapter. When a traveler, he comes to that house, rich man's house, he takes the little lamb of the poor man, and then he gives feast to that traveler. So that is a simple parable, but King David, he convicts by using that. Why he has took poor man's lamb and then giving that feast and all. But ultimately he convicts and that person is nothing but he himself. But then after realizing that, he writes a beautiful psalm from Psalm 51. I would like to read out that. This shows the true repentance from Psalm 51. Very quickly, I will read it out. What is true repentance? That's why we are referring this psalm from 51. Have mercy upon me, Lord, upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And if you come back to 10th verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And fifth verse, 51st Psalm, fifth verse, behold, I was forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. By birthright, we have that sinful nature. Though we are sanctified, though he was anointed, though he was man of God's heart, that sinful nature in him, right, that made him to do the adultery with Bathsheba, and also we know what happened later. So, but because of the true repentance, right, God blessed him, and Jesus, he was known as Son of David. So we all see the consequences of it. And from New Testament, one more true repentance example from one more parable of Lord Jesus, prodigal son. When he realized, when he come to his senses, the second son, right? He comes back to the father and he tells, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He convicts that. So that is the true repentance. When we have the true repentance, right, that makes us to be fruitful. What is fruit, by the way? Fruit is nothing but, biblically speaking, it's a metaphor uses to describe the produce of our Christian lives. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Fruit can be either good or bad. Romans 7:5, it says, while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, from Proverbs 11:30. Fruit is the direct result of whatever controls in our heart, whatever it is there, whatever residing in our hearts, that comes out. Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Galatians 5:20, it's a very famous, popular, and recently we meditated on that. Fruit of the Spirit, nothing but all the 9 delicious flavors: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that those are all for the fruit. Fruit is nothing but it is the produce of our Christian life. Whatever we externally show, that is the fruit. Nothing but the expectation is Christ-likeness. The goal of each Christian, right, each believer, is to make the individual believer Christ-like nature. 8:29 Romans, it clearly mentions, he conformed us to be in his image, conforms us to the image of his son. We define typically, most of the time, fruit means we refer with the fruit of the Spirit. That is only one. There are other fruits. If a person bears the fruit of the Spirit, his inner character is like that of Christ. When we have those 9 delicious flavors, automatically our actions also based upon that. When we see a lemon, when we go to Target or Walmart, when we see the lemon, which is in yellow or green color, immediately without tasting the lemoniness of it, we say that is lemon. So similarly, when somebody sees, right, we should reflect his nature. We should reflect like mini Christ. That is expectation. That's what God is desiring everyone to be like him, Christ-likeness. The true fruitfulness begins in the heart with the fruit of the Spirit. Inner fruit affects outward action. Whatever we do, everything that comes from our heart. Various types of fruits mentioned in the Bible. Fruit of holiness, Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end, everlasting life. Fruit of the Spirit, all love, joy, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, meekness, we saw in the 19th. That indicates the inner essence. And then one more fruit is winning the souls for Christ. That is also fruit. From Matthew 13:20, this is a parable of the sower. Who hears the word and understand it, indeed bears fruit and produces 100-fold, 60-fold, 30. So that is the bearing of the fruit. Nothing but winning the souls for him also, that is also fruit. And also whatever we give, offering also, that is also fruit. From Romans 15:28, Macedonian and Achaia believers, right, after they heard the gospel from Jerusalem believers, and then when they came to know that they are in financial trouble, they collected all the offerings and then they give to Paul to give Jerusalem believers. Offering also, what we give also, it's a fruit. And Apostle Paul, he mentions, have sealed to them this fruit. Macedonia and Achaia believers, that is the word. And then bearing the fruit, 5 secrets. There are so many secrets. I would like to share 5 secrets, how to bear fruit and also fruitfulness in Christ. Contact with living water, Psalm 1:3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is referring to whoever not sitting in the council of the bad people, and also whoever not stands in the paths of the sinners, whoever meditates the law of the Lord day and night, and also whoever delights in the law of the Lord, for them, whoever in contact with the living water, nothing but Jesus, they bring forth. This is one of the secrets to bear fruit. And then 13:23, once again, parable of the sower, spiritual receptivity. When that seed, right, it fell on the good ground, it gives the fruit, 100, 60, 30-fold. Death of the old earth, this is very, very important. When Greek people, when they approached Philip and Andrew, Peter, Nathaniel, all from same area, when Greeks, right, when they attended for the Passover festival 2000 years back, they approached Philip to speak to Jesus. That time Jesus mentioned, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus Christ's death, right, it makes us to be like him and to be, it makes us every believer, right, like mini Christ. So the unleashing power of that one, to come out that, right, one has to die. When we deny ourselves and take the cross and follow his footsteps, definitely that will be very fruitful. Death of the old life is very, very important. We talk many times carrying the cross. Every day it is a daily activity. So in order to bear the fruit, right, this is mandatory, and also it is a secret. Fourth secret is chastening and pruning. God, he prunes us to make us more fruitful, more abundance, to give us more abundance, right? He prunes us. We should not take it negatively. That is good to us only, and it makes us depend on him, to rely on him more and more, that ultimately bear fruits. Also, the last fifth secret is from John 15:5. I'm referring from ESV here, abiding in Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit. We have to connect with him. Without him, right, when the branch is not connected to the stem, the substance will not get flow in the branch. So in order to bear much fruit, we have to connect with Christ, and we should have personal relationship with him. That is the last one. I would like to encourage by referring one of the fruitful Christians, C.T. Studd. Once Brother Riji mentioned this one. C.T. Studd, he was a talented British athlete, basically plays cricket. Cricket is the game plays in India. So, but he's from England, a very talented one. Cricket world calls him born cricket. After he believes in Jesus Christ, he got so many honors, prizes, so many he got. But somebody, they take, right, they think that there's prosperity or God is blessing him. No doubt that is. But after he realizes whatever he plays, right, that he's giving entertainment to the people who are watching, the cricket audience and all. For him, right, it is getting the honors and all. He realized, and then he writes himself, what good will it do anybody in the next world for me to have been the best cricket player that has ever been? What good I'm doing next to my neighbor? Like that he thought. And then he thought winning souls is far, far important. Far more important than winning cricket matches. After that, he resigned, and then he left the cricket profession. Then he founded the Worldwide Evangelism Crusade. So he quote one old hymn saying that, "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart, mind, and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings." We more focus on our lesser things, worldly things, or our job, or our families. More, these are all very lesser things when we are serving the King of Kings. We have to serve him the full of heart, mind, and soul. This is from C.T. Studd. Wanted to refer an encouragement on that. So to summary and conclusion is nothing but, Master is seeking fix from each tree. God's long suffering we saw, his grace, and also intercession, how Jesus is interceding for us on behalf of us, we all know. God has given one more year, 2023, that is grace, to make us more fruitful or to make us fruitful. Unfruitfulness, we know the reasons now, and also what makes us unfruitful, and also results of nothing but Matthew 3:10. True repentance. We saw what is true repentance, and also fruit and true types, Christ-likeness, and also fruitlessness, secrets, 5 secrets of fruitlessness. God has called us to be fruitful. May our good God help us to be fruitful, 100%, 60, and 30. Amen. Coming back.